Support for this podcast comes from Aramark. Whether your company is constantly battling for the top talent in your space, or you're worried about keeping employees on board following the COVID-19 shutdown, it's imperative you develop a strategy for recruiting and retaining employees. It just makes good financial sense. Labour turnover can cost your company up to 33% of employees' annual salaries, and that adds up fast. That's why Aramark, the top provider of healthy and delicious food options in dynamic dining environments, created a guide that reviews the top trends for recruiting and retaining talent. And you can get a free copy for being a Recruiting Future podcast listener. You know you can trust Aramark's insights, since they offer customer service across food, facilities and uniforms, wherever people work, learn, recover and play. Their 280,000 team members deliver experiences that enrich and nourish the lives of millions of people in 19 countries around the world every day. For your copy of the guide, just head to bit.ly/Aramark Insights. It covers the top 7 trends and it's free to download. That URL again, bit.ly/Aramark Insights. And Aramark is spelt A-R-A-M-A-R-K.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 279 of the Recruiting Future podcast. With such a large proportion of the global workforce currently working from home, it's now clear that the offices and workspaces that people eventually return to are going to be very different. So, what does the future of the workplace look like, and what part will it play in attracting and retaining top talent? My guest this week is Ash Hansen, SVP of Human Resources at Aramark. Aramark provides facilities, food and uniforms to employers across 19 countries and is at the cutting edge of the changes we're currently seeing in workplaces all around the world. Hi Ash, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi Matt, thank you for having me on.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Please could you just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about Aramark?
Sure. Aramark is in the service business across food, facilities, and uniforms, everywhere that people come together to work, learn, recover, or play. So whether at a hospital or a higher education campus, at the cafe in a corporate office, or at a sporting venue, many, if not most of your listeners have probably experienced Aramark services. We have over 250,000 team members across 19 countries. My role specifically is to lead human resources for the U.S. food and facilities portfolio, which is 8 distinct lines of business here in the U.S. and employs about 150,000 team members across nearly 5,000 locations. You know, cliche as it may sound, we often say here at Aramark that we're in the people business, and my job really is to ensure that we're hiring, developing, and retaining the best people for the company.
Now, we're recording this in the middle of June 2020, and obviously 2020 has been an unprecedented year. So let's start by talking about that. Tell us about Aramark's response to COVID-19. I mean, how is it transforming your role as a hospitality company?
You know, I don't know who to attribute this quote to, but I've heard it said that the 2008 crash was a CFO's crisis and the current pandemic is the people officer's crisis. And I couldn't agree more. It's been a fascinating experience, not just to be in human resources, but specifically in a hospitality services company during this time. So Aramark was actually the forefront of the COVID-19 pandemic in many ways. We serve at a hospital in Wuhan. And so we've been involved in reacting to the crisis from very, very early on. We formed the Aramark Response Committee back in January to centrally manage all aspects of the company's response. through COVID-19. And from our very first meeting back in January, and we learned this lesson every day since, it's been clear that we've had to really lean into the core capabilities of the company that make it a trusted partner for our clients, right? So that would be our deep operational expertise, our ability to quickly bring innovative solutions to bear to our clients and consumers, and the remarkable strength of our field people. So specific to the pandemic, it was clear that what was already a deep-rooted commitment in the company to safety would be even more critical, not only to ensure the safety of our own employees, but also in creating solutions that our clients and customers need. So I'll give you a few examples. Not only did we have to reinforce safety training for our own employees on issues like hand hygiene or PPE use or CDC guidelines as they emerged, but we had to very quickly create solutions like pop-up convenience stores for our healthcare clients so healthcare workers in the front lines could avoid grocery stores at the end of a long shift, or deploy enhanced cleaning protocols for our facilities clients who were still delivering essential services and were up and running during the pandemic. It's become clear to us that our safety and our operating experience around safety is so critical and a key differentiator. In fact, recently in partnership with Jefferson Health here in Philadelphia and aligned with CDC and WHO guidelines, we launched Eversafe, which the easiest way for me to describe Eversafe is as a holistic, multidimensional safety platform, which takes into account everything from employee safety and well-being to safe operational practices, to the use of technology to create frictionless experiences. And actually the most important part of Eversafe, that it's a platform for continued learning and collaboration as we go through this pandemic. What it means for sort of the community at large as we launch Eversafe is now we can bring our expertise around safety, not just to our traditional clients, but to small and medium-sized businesses that will now be able to take advantage of our expertise to operate their own businesses safely. It's interesting, Dr. Klosko, who's the president and CEO of Jefferson, along with a couple of his colleagues, wrote a paper for the World Economic Forum back in May. And I'm paraphrasing him here, but you know, they talk about the fact that hospitality companies would need to evolve to become safety companies with a hospitality focus. And based on the lessons of the last few months, I personally couldn't agree more.
That's really interesting stuff. And obviously, it's something that's affecting the industry that you're in a very dramatic way. Obviously, around the world, a vast proportion of the workforce has been away from the office and working from home. But as countries start to unlock and people sort of start to go back to their offices, what does the future of the office look like as people go back into their workspaces? What's it going to look like moving forward?
For us, I would say that's an issue that has two dimensions, right? So there is the issue of our own employees and how do we bring our own teams back to our headquarters, for example, or our regional offices, but also then how do we support our clients in creating safe workplaces with their employees as they bring their teams back? Ironically, not too long ago, so back in December of 2018, we moved to our brand new stunning headquarters here in Philadelphia at 24th and Market. And, you know, it's a space that we were very conscious of designing to create opportunities for collaboration and innovation. So it's, you know, open and bright and welcoming. It's got amazing amenities, including our flagship cafe, a fantastic innovation kitchen, flexible workspaces, a great fitness center, all of which, of course, we have to rethink and reimagine as we bring our teams back to the office. And so I will describe some of what we've done in our own space, because that is similar to a lot of what we are consulting with our clients to do for their locations. So a couple of things to consider, right? So first is, and most important in some ways, is entry. So you know, making sure that we are putting in safety protocols from before people enter the building. So everything from temperature checking to ensuring that there are pre-screening questions that are responded to, not just for our team members, but also for any visitors who happen to come to our space. Using floor decals and other visual cues from the lobby on, so people understand social distancing and it becomes the norm even as they enter the building. to other ways to support social distancing. For example, from a cafe perspective, as much as our cafe was designed very much to create opportunities for people to share meals, we're trying to set it up now to enable online ordering and having great new sort of to-go meal options that are healthy and convenient and safe. We're making sure that workspaces are set up in a way to allow for safe social distancing, including in shared spaces like elevators and restrooms. And then there's issues like high contact surfaces. So for instance, we're retrofitting all of our restroom doors with step and pull devices so you don't have to touch the door handles. We're installing nanoseptic film over our elevator buttons so there isn't, you know, infection on contact. You know, there will be multiple visual cues like hand sanitizing stations set up in pretty good intervals, as well as signs that remind people about hand hygiene and facial covering practices, et cetera. But look, the most important part of all of that will be communication. So we know that as employees return to the workspace, the most important thing will be to reassure them of their safety and to ensure that they can see that we have taken their safety as our primary priority as we've set up the space for return to work. And so communication is going to be key. In our offices, for example, we did a survey of all of our headquarters and regional office team members to ensure that we were truly trying to identify the core issues that they were concerned about as they returned to the workplace. And we folded that feedback in very visible ways into both our planning and communications back with the teams as we've given them details on our return to work plans. And so it's really important not only to be comprehensive in your planning, but also to ensure, you know, to making sure that your employees are communicated with frequently and thoroughly and understand that their safety is of paramount importance to the company.
To focus, I suppose, a bit on your employees for a moment, tell us how you recruit and retain top talent in your business.
Well, I could spend hours on this topic, so I'll try to remain succinct. You can keep me honest here. So, you know, talent acquisition at Aramark is a significant activity. So in the U.S. alone, for example, we recruit roughly 75,000 hourly associates a year and roughly 10,000 salaried managers every year. A lot of those numbers are due to the seasonal and cyclical nature of our business. So there's a tremendous amount of effort that goes into our TA strategy, all the way from sourcing of talent to recruiting, marketing, you know, leveraging social media, et cetera, leveraging talent acquisition technologies, including AI, and dashboards to keep track of all of those moving parts. So there's significant effort around TA. We have a strong focus around diversity recruiting, whether it's, you know, women, people of color, people with disabilities, multi-generational hiring, for example. So an example in that last piece. So we do, you know, we're pretty known for our campus recruiting programs. We hire hundreds of students off of campuses in our campus recruiting program that is called Accelerated to Leadership, which is really about bringing college students in right after they're done with their degrees to really focus on developing their leadership skills in a very focused manner over a period of a year, where they're placed in operational jobs right off the bat and given on-the-job training. But then there is, you know, how do you think about this from a multi-generational perspective? And an example of that for us would be a partnership that we've been piloting with the AARP here in the U.S. It's a national partnership with a lot of specific regional focus. And in the last 6 months, we've seen 1,000 applicants come in through the program. Now, I will tell you that COVID has certainly had an impact on conversion rates to hires in that particular program. But we are really thinking through recruiting and sourcing specifically from many different sources, including some very non-traditional ones. On the retention side, our efforts are pretty wide-ranging as well. So everything from thinking about, you know, again, going back to the idea of bringing 75,000 hourly associates and 10,000 salaried managers into the company each year, you know, we focus a lot of our time and energy on thinking about onboarding those new team members successfully and really training them both in terms of on-the-job training for technical skills, but also for leadership training. Last year, we launched our frontline education program, which allows for our hourly associates to earn a college degree with a fully sponsored college tuition, a lot of whom are graduating out of Arizona State University, which is actually a client, a long-term client partner of Aramark's. You know, and then there is the issue around culture and how do we continue to signal what's important in the culture of this company and how do we use that to really drive retention? So, for instance, I go back to the point I made around diversity and inclusion, which is a crucial part of our culture. You know, we do microbiases training for our employees. We have employee-led resource groups that not only help build culture, but going back to the idea of recruiting, are a great source of diverse talent for us. And finally, recognition is a big piece of what we do from a retention perspective. Encore Encore is the name of our recognition platform, and it allows for a wide variety of ways in which we can recognize folks, not just on the spot, you know, where managers recognize their employees, but also allows for peer-to-peer recognition and other non-traditional recognition.
You talked about your office space and obviously the changes that are now happening with that space. And one of the key things that we always talk about on the podcast is employer brand. How important is workspace to employer brand?
That's a great question. You know, to me, the workspace is truly a physical manifestation of the company's value proposition, right? So, and I do believe that it's a tool to attract and retain great talent. So I'll give you a couple of examples from our own experience. So health and wellness is a core characteristic of our culture. So there are a number of things at our headquarters that points towards that. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have a state-of-the-art fitness center with robust programming that meets the needs of all kinds of users at different, you know, places in their health and wellness journey. We have biophilia rooms and meditation rooms for stress reduction. Our cafe offers healthy nutritional choices and opportunities to educate our employees on health and wellness, for example. Going back to diversity, which is, again, another hallmark of our culture. Our space can support that as well. So there are spaces designated for our employee resource groups to come together and lead events that create community amongst our team members. We're able to bring in guest restaurant concepts that support local diverse businesses. And then a third hallmark of our culture is collaboration and innovation, as I mentioned earlier. So a lot of our spaces are set up you know, to allow for groups to come together in different formats and collaborate together and build new ideas together. So there are very physical, tangible ways in which you can articulate what's important to you as a company in, you know, in how you design the physical space for your employees.
What about employers who are not in the position to have a new building or redesign their building? How could they incorporate some of those strategies into their sort of physical workspace?
That's a great question. And look, I may be a little bit biased in my perspective on this because of the business we're in. But I do believe that your food and beverage programs, for example, can showcase your values to your employees, right? So whether it's because you offer healthy choices or you use food as a way to provide education on health to your employees, or even use food as a way to open up dialogues about other cultures. There's so many ways that you can leverage food to tell stories. And I think that is an example of something that you can do without making significant changes to your physical space. Then there is the aspect of safety, right? Especially in the current environment. So how can you ensure that your location is truly set up to put the safety of your teams at the very center and in a visible way that expresses to your employees how much you value them and how much their well-being and safety matters to you? So there are definite signals that you can send using your existing space without necessarily investing in building out new capabilities or you know, areas within your building.
Final question, what's next for Aramark? What are you going to be focusing on for the rest of this year and then into 2021?
Well, we're very excited about Eversafe. And, you know, like I said, for us, part of the excitement is the opportunity to bring our safe operations expertise, not just to existing clients and our traditional clients, but to really open it up to a whole new space in terms of small and medium-sized businesses. The other thing we're very excited about is supporting our clients across sectors as they open back up, whether it's colleges and school districts this fall, or businesses across the country as they reopen their offices, professional sports leagues as games start back up, or hospitals as they return to regular operations. From a people perspective, there's some really fun work ahead of us in the employee value proposition and recruitment marketing space. We're in the midst of a global HR systems implementation, so that will definitely keep us busy over the next year. And most importantly, we will spend a lot of time and energy on our diversity and inclusion agenda. D&I has always been central to this company, but the events of the last few weeks here in the U.S. Has given us even more of a push to show up and act, and we intend to do just that.
Ash, thank you very much for talking to me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
My thanks to Ash Hansen. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow us on Instagram. You can find the show by searching for Recruiting Future. You can also listen and subscribe to the show on Spotify. You can find and search all the past episodes at www.recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.